All right. We're in business. It's, Gus, we just want to talk a little bit about what we talked about the last time. I think more than anything, I'd like to just hear from you how, you know, going back to the early days, how you got started fishing and how you came to Montauk. And I don't even know if you've always been here or any of those things. So let's talk some about the early days and what it was like fishing around here. And when I don't want to interrupt you too often. One of the things I do want to I do want to get though is whenever you see me do this, because I don't want to interrupt you. It's good to have a record of about what year it is when we're talking about these different things. So.
In other words, you want to know when I came to Montauk.
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
So, we came to Montauk in 1914, July the 26th, we landed in Montauk. From Nova Scotia.
Is that with your parents?
And the traveling then was by horse when we first started. The first lap was by horse and wagon.
Down from Nova Scotia.
The second lap was we crossed a little ferry there where a guy had pushed the ferry across. Then the second lap was we took the Cape train to Halifax, and then we stayed in Truro overnight, and we took the train in Truro that morning and we landed in Yarmouth. And then we just got by when they had that explosion in Halifax.
How many people was this? Your family or?
We were six girls, two boys, my mother, my father, and a friend of ours.
That's great.
And from Yarmouth, we stayed over in Yarmouth overnight, and we took the boat the next morning for Boston. We were out all night, and we got in Boston the next morning. And from there, we landed in the South Station. Then we got transferred from the South Station with a horse and wagon to the North Station. Then we took another train to Newark, Connecticut. That's where my father met us with a boat.
Oh, he brought a boat down?
He had a boat then. And he came across the Sound with all the baggage and all the crew. We landed on Jacob's Dock.
Why were you coming to Montauk?
Well, the reason why that these Canadian people came to Montauk, the Edwards brothers had four bunker boats. One was the Amagansett, the East Hampton, the Ocean View, and the Elizabeth. They had four boats. And they used to hire these colored guys from South, and they paid them off on Saturday, and they wouldn't see them no more on Monday. So they were out without a crew for the following Monday. So one Canadian guy got the idea of getting Canadian guys from far away, and you know, naturally they just couldn't go home overnight. It was too far, 1,200 miles. They just could go 1,200 miles every morning, every week. So that's how they got the Canadian crew from Nova Scotia. And they hired, I think, was 60-some men from Nova Scotia.
60?
Yeah. And they had their own bunkhouse there in Promised Land, their own cookhouse. They kept them right there. That's... So then everything came along fine.
Close the door. Is it okay?
Yeah.
So did you start working on a bunker boat or?
No, I was only a kid then. I was only 7 years old when I came to the States. So then my father worked on those boats for 7 years. Then he went in business for himself, bought a boat, bought a little dragger. And then I started working for my father, 7 years old.
Where would you be dragging then?
We'd drag it right in the bay. So it was as far as we had to go.
What were you fish there?
Fluke, almost anything at all. Fruit, sea bass, porgies, kingfish, flounders. And then we got a little more nerve than we went outside and dragged on the ocean side. Well, that's where the fish was. They were doormats.
How long was that? How big a fish were they?
Fluke anyway from 14 to 16 pounds. The little one we would throw away.
What was the little one?
4 pounds. Right. We used to throw them away. Porgies we used to throw away. Skates we used to throw away. Monkfish we used to throw away. Whiting we used to throw away. Billfish we used to throw away. There was no market for them. Pollock we used to throw away.
How far offshore were you dragging that?
A quarter of a mile.
Quarter of a mile.
Quarter of a mile. We used to make 4 drags a day, and that's as much as we could hold the boat.
That's great.
We only had a net 32 foot wide, 12 horsepower engine. 12 power engine.
That's amazing. How long a boat was that?
28 foot boat.
Uh-huh. So, and did you kept that boat, how long did you keep that boat?
Then I started rum running with the boat.
With that boat?
Yeah, 28 foot boat. I used to go 55 miles offshore.
How old were you then?
14 years old. My 25 foot boat and pick up 100 cases of liquor on a 25 foot boat.
At 14?
At 14 years old, all alone.
I can imagine what some of the people that, who was delivering the rum at that time to you?
Well, see, I didn't get in contact with the regular, the high guys. I was working for the supercargoes. I didn't want to mix it with those guys, but those guys were tough.
Right.
So I worked with Phil Coffey. Phil Coffey was a regular guy, and he used to give me a half of a $2 bill, and the boat had the other half. Now I had to correspond my half with their half, so it's to get a load. But then, the first load I made, the first time I went out, I found a place where the ship was, but the ship had left, the sailboat, he had left for Bark Island. Instead of coming home for 55 miles offshore, I headed for Bark Island. Well, I found the boat, I got the load, and I broke down. My engine broke down on the way in. I was 7 days out at sea.
7 days?
7 days out at sea before I got the engine fixed. And I landed in Connecticut.
You had to fix it yourself?
Yeah, and I fixed it myself. I landed in Connecticut. And the guy gave me a cigar box to take home. He said, give this to Phil Coffey when you get home. So I didn't, of course. I just took the box and I threw it to the front part of the boat. And when I sighted shore, I didn't know where I was. So I anchored the boat and I swam ashore. I swam ashore, and who did I meet but the guy that I was working for. He said, where in the devil are you from? I said, I was lost at sea. You're supposed to be here 7 days ago. Well, I said, I got lost at sea, and the motor broke down, and here I am. Well, he says, come down west. There's a little cove there, we'll unload you. And then after we unload you, go right back to the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard was only about a quarter of a mile from where I landed. And they'll take care of you. So they came out, picked me up, gave me breakfast, gave me bed that night, gave me enough gas to get back home. And I left there at 7 o'clock, and the cutter, I did say, was looking for me, because he knew I was out. But he was looking for me at around 9 o'clock, but I got here at 7 o'clock. And I put anchored the boat on the mooring, and Phil Kelfi comes to me, says, did they give you a box to bring home? I said, yes, in the boat. Well, there's $45,000 in that box.
Oh my God.
I bet he was happy.
So.
But keep talking.
Yes.
Okay. Do you think in mind if I close the door out there because the Hattie sound is.
No, no, go ahead.
Okay. It's okay.
That's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about it.
I'll tell her to talk so loud.
I don't think I can hear.
I'll tell her to talk so loud.
Hang on a second, Gus. I'll tell you if I can hear.
Maddie. Maddie, don't talk so loud, because your voice.
Yeah. Yeah, I could hear. I'm sorry, Gus.
So then they hired me to get a bigger boat. 85-foot boat. With 3 $500 power liberties.
Wow. When was this?
And I was 15.
So it was 1920?
22. So then from there on, I used to go pick up the boat in Greenport, the Say Shipyard.
I'm sorry, Eddie.
It's all right.
And it used to take me an hour and a half from Say Shipyard in Greenport, 55 miles offshore. I was capable of making 45 knots an hour.
45 knots?
So I picked up the boat called the I-Star, Big English Yacht. And I give them the signal with a flashlight, I'll be flashes, and everything was okay. So put me onside the boom, called up the rope ladder, and he looked at me, he says, where's the captain? He says, I'm the captain. He says, how old are you? I said, 15. He says, where's the mate? The mate is down. Bring him up here, 11 years old.
11 years old?
11 years old. So he brought the two of us up before the captain. Big English, he was about 6'6". The captain says, I've been at sea now for 40-some years. I've never seen anything like this before. Two kids out here with an 85-foot boat, with 3 500 horsepower liberties, looking for 500 cases of liquor. Well, they couldn't refuse it to me because I had the order. I put on 500 cases, and I got sighted. They sighted me just off Fort Pond Bay here. So I started running for Gardner's Island. So they chased me, but I draw 4.5 feet. When the boat was still, but then on the way, so much power, the boat rises up, and I was only drawing 2 feet. They drawed 8 feet, so they couldn't chase me, they couldn't go no further. So I landed all the stuff in right where Seaves and Roebuck is now, in that little creek up there. I had three rowboats there with lights, just for exactly where to go.
So let's get back to the fishing here for a second, Gus. Were you doing any fishing during the 20s?
Then I was lobster fishing then.
You were lobster fishing?
I was lobster fishing with my father. And from there, I went to work dredging the lake. I worked with Montauk Beach dredging the lake.
Oh, that's
right. After the lake was finished, then I went to work with Charlie Thompson, fish guide on the boat.
Now, when the lake was opened, most of the boats were still here in Fort Pond Bay?
They were all in Fort Pond Bay.
What was the fleet like then, about the
time? There was so many boats here there wasn't any more room for any more.
Here in Fort Pond Bay? In
Fort Pond Bay.
And what boats were they? I mean, were they draggers? Or?
All draggers and handliners and trappers, and they were all mixed.
And so there were no charter fishing or sport fishing as we know.
No, that was not sport fishing then.
When did that start?
Sport fishing started when they built the Hood News dock. And then the railroad started running people down here.
Mm-hmm. When was that?
I was thinking last night, I just can't...
About?
Pick the right date on, but... That must have been... See, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 20. Must have been around either 27 or 28.
Just about the time the lake was open.
Yeah. So right after the lake was open.
So that the train
then 29, started... 29, and then 29, then boats started coming in more and more. Sam Edwards came in with a big yacht. Bob Buell came in with a big boat. Sam Andrews came in with another big boat, open boats. They were taking on anywhere from 60 to 70 people.
How big were those boats?
Sam Andrews' boat was almost on his feet. It was a very big yacht. He was taking 125 people.
It's okay.
Hello? I'm busy right now in this end. No, not here. I don't know, she just went out. And they were getting $2 a person.
For the boat?
Yeah.
And the train was how much?
A dollar and a half. Well, and then they needed a few charter boats, so we started. That was Gene Beckwith, Monty Rackett, John Mesbar, and myself, four charter boats.
And
we were getting $18.
And that was what year?
That was about 31 or 32.
That first boat that you had, how did you get that first boat? What was it?
Well, a guy by the name of Sweeney had a boat built in Connecticut, and the boat got on fire and just burned half of it. And I bought the motor, and he was going to burn the rest of the boat. And the motor that I bought was too big for my little boat, so I decided I'd buy the rest of the boat, what was left of it, and rebuild it. So I rebuilt it. And I used to get these Chrysler engines from East Hampton, convert them into a marine engine. These cost me $25.
That was the cost of the engine?
That cost the engine, $25. I'd run them for 1 year and throw it out. Jed Brown used to furnish me with another motor. If you get a car in there that's in pretty good shape, he called me up to come up and get the motor. I'd take the conversion parts off of the other one, put it on this one here, put it back in the boat, and I had a brand new engine.
How fast would your boat run?
Oh, she was quite fast. I was making at least 9 knots an hour.
And where were you fishing then, Gus?
Then I was mostly on Shagwon. I didn't have to go any further. But then after I got the other boat, then I had a twin screw. And I bought that boat from the same man I bought the first one.
When was that?
I ran that little boat for 12 years. Then I bought the other one and I remodeled that one. And I sold my first one for $1,500 for even Johnny Kress. And then I bought a set of boaters for the other boat.
What were the boat's names?
The Ranger was the
first one.
Was the name, but I changed it to Marie 3.
Was Marie 2 though?